morning. Can you all hear me through here? Yeah. Well, someone said I can holler loud enough that I don't always need a microphone. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to be able to see faces that we haven't seen in quite a while, to be able to hear the voices that nourish our souls, encourage us, uplift our spirit is a good thing. And we hope and trust that in the weeks, the months, and hopefully, if it be God's will, in the years to follow, that we'll have that presence and that encouragement of being among one another, lifting each other's spirit as we praise our great God and Savior. This morning, when this lesson is over, I hope and trust that a lot will weigh on your mind, on your heart, so that when the invitation is given, that when you find yourself standing in need, and we often do, we shall get that made complete and right with God. So that if we were to leave this period of moment we call time, and if we were to step into eternity, then we will know that we're heading in the right direction. We, as we said in our class this morning, as Bart led us, is that we're looking for something that faded not away, something that's truly and completely incorruptible. We're not longing for man's wreath to place about our heads and his acknowledgement of our abilities to be able to conquer all of our inward challenges. We are concerned more about that which God has placed before us, all of those hurdles that we overcome, all of the obstacles that we're able to circumvent. We hope and trust that at the end of this, whatever it be, that you need to become a child of God, that you'll do so. And that as a child of God, that if you are lacking in strength or you're lacking in faith and courage, that you'll pray, that we'll pray for you so that whatever is lacking in our lives, all of us, God will certainly in his due time fill those holes, those spiritual gaps that we may have, making those connections so that we can walk clearly, unhindered, unencumbered, straight to him. That's what it's all about. And I'm hoping and trusting this morning that we're ready for this lesson. We're dealing with elders as the prayer was offered unto us today, realizing what we have before us in the weeks, in the months to come. But I believe that we're going to rise to the challenge. I believe that men will come forth. And I believe that the church will embrace God's new, God's additional leadership. Here we're talking about elders this morning. And I'm grateful for my former teammates, the former lesson they had. They are my teammates. They're like, I'm gone. I'm not gone yet. My teammates, Brian started it. Steve nourishing, and I hope to try to complete it in a good way as they have done. We're going to talk about elders, and we go right back to the scripture this morning. The elders which be among you, I exhort, he uses the word parakaleo, I exhort you who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taken the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We're going to try to connect all three of these this morning, and hopefully that what I can share with you will be helpful to you as you are thinking about men to serve as part of that eldership, that will form an additional a new eldership altogether. Now you look, all three of these will come together, the pastor, shepherd, the bishop, overseer, and the elder itself. All of these three merges together because without the unity of mind, there will be no unity of movement. So all of us need to understand that every one of these men, the elder, the deacons, the oversight, all of these things are just one, and they move together, doing those things that are right so that the church can move forward. Now, I want you to know, that the church was the intentional organization of God. And since it was the intentional organization of God, God intended for it to have some leadership. Ephesians 3 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church is an intentional spiritual organization of God. And since it is an intentional organization, God intend for it to be organized. God intend for it to be led the way he had intended or had in his mind. But I want us to know, we need some good leaders, people who will not only help us to be all that God has called us to be, but they will also work together to ensure the continuity and the growth of the church. We're not satisfied with being stable. We ought to be satisfied without being growing and developing. And these men all together should be working towards that God-given end. And when we do that, things will get better, because God needs God-fearing, truth-living, and people-centered men to guide his flock on to greener pastures. And that's what he called us to do. Elders, they are not just mentioned in the New Testament, but they're mentioned in the Old Testament. I like the way Bart took that class this morning, going backward and then coming forward. But elders are not only mentioned in the New Testament. This is not some new phenomenon. This is not something of this time and day, but it is something that God has always had in his mind. Ever since that Egyptian escape, God have had men to lead his people. Even Moses realized that he couldn't do it by himself. Therefore, he needed some elders of Israel, older people of Israel, who can really guide and lead God's flock, God's church that was wandering in the wilderness. As the Bible says, according to Paul, the church that wandered in the wilderness. So the church has always had some elders of folk to lead her to higher heights of mountaintop experiences. And here we have also as well Moses. God said to Moses, I want you to gather unto me 70 men of elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elder of the people and officers over them. So we're talking about elders. This is not a new phenomenon. This is something that goes back with its examples that's hidden and bred within antiquity. So what we're talking about is elders, people, officers that may stand there with you, that thou bear it not by thyself alone. Any man ought to want some elders. Any preacher ought to want some elders. Any good church ought to want some elders. Why? Good elders. Not just elders, but good elders. Men who are really sold on the very leadership of God's people. There was the elder of the city. Then the elders of this his city shall send out. Fetch him along. This is talking about doing some things. Some of you, the legal one, but the rest of you, always be talking about the ideal of jurisprudence. And here he goes right here. The elders of this city shall send out. Fetch him. If there's a problem that's going on, elders handle it. If there's some problem going on with God's people, the elders handle it. If there's some discontent, some conflict, the elders handle it. They didn't put it off. They didn't wait a long time. They dealt with it and said, go get them, bring them to us so we can deal with this mess right here, right now. Let now the rulers of our congregation stand. And with them the elders of every city and the judges. When they got out of the captivity, they began to talk about the diaspora. Here they are again. They're going around in different places. But God's people still had to have a connection to him, and they still needed somebody to guide them. This spiritual organization that God called out of Egypt, they needed some help. These elders of the people, these elders of them, they did it. We talked about Ezra, found it there, and here he is in Proverbs. And her husband is known in the gates when he said it among the elders of the land. They've always had older men. They always had wise men. They always had godly men to set them down, to show them in the direction that they ought to go, to push them when they felt like not moving, to uplift them when they felt heartbroken. God has always had elders. This is not a New Testament phenomenon. God has always had people to lead his people. And here we go. Here's the word, Hebrew word, is bearded one. The Greek word, presbyteros, is the older one. Two out of three ain't bad. I guess I'm a good client then. I'm old and bearded. So the ideal of it is that, listen, the older man with beard. Now, just because you don't have a beard doesn't mean, but you ought to be at that point to show something. So I used to try to cut it off. I said, Cynthia, I'm going to cut this off. She said, leave it on. Why? People respect you. They'll know how old you are. I said, okay then. And the elder is an individual with value, life experiences. Not just here and there picking out, but there's a volume of life experiences. That's what an elder is. A bearded one, an older one, with a lot of life experiences. Three things about this elder. I want us to get that. You can write that down, because what I want to give you this morning is going to be a reading homework assignment. It's not a long read, a very short read, but I hope that when you're reading it, you're grasping it the way God intended for us, the way I have gotten it, and that men of old have taught me, sitting at their feet learning. People like Curtis Case, people like Billy Smith, people like Richard Curry, the Walking Bible, John Harris, my father in the gospel, Melvin Hampton. They try to teach me the Bible the way it ought to be taught. Try to get me to live the Bible the way it ought to be walked. Why? Because that's the way God had intended. Three things about elders: their age, their awareness, and their action. Then you know you got the right men. Then the church know that we have the right men. Age is number one. We're not just talking about the chronologic, the social and spiritual growth experienced over time, not just old. Always tell the people, age doesn't always tell the story. And I would say sometimes to people, you need to begin to act your age and not your shoe size. There are a lot of people who act according to their shoe size. It's not the years that they've roamed this earth. Not just merely chronological, but as a social, there's a spiritual growth over time. That's what we're talking about, age. Some men are 30, but they act and live like 50. Some folks are like 40, but they act and learn like 70. What are you talking about? Age is not altogether the defined number that we're looking for. There's the awareness, his ability to hear, to understand, to anticipate outcomes. No, he can't sit up and say, I can tell you how that, but I'm going to tell you what. A man that's wise can see through traps. A man that's wise, even though he may be in the dark, light shines upon it. Even though he may not hear the complete story, he is able to put the pieces together. When he's a good elder, you can't get nothing over him. And if you did, it won't last long. Here's what my mom used to teach me. She said, boy, you're going to have to get up early in the morning to fool me. And if you catch me early enough, just before I really awaken, you might get an oath on me. But until that time, you're going to have to get up early in the morning. Whenever you have a good elder, you can run around, play your game, but he sees right through it. He can anticipate. I tell you what, 2 + 2 = 4. You go through this, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we can expect to happen. Why? Because he's seen it, he's heard it, he loved it, he understands it. We need men like that in the eldership. We need people like that that can see it, to see it coming before it gets there. And sometimes it's a sad thing for men to say, I didn't see that coming, too late. The bus done already hit you. When whenever we do that, we ought to be able to see. It's about having the ability to hear, understand, to anticipate the outcome, and need some good decision making. That's what an elder is. I'll be out here in a minute. Well, I need to get this across, okay? He needs to have faith, his age, his awareness, and his action. The faith and fortitude to defend and to develop every sheep. He needs to have that. I can do that. I need to do that. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, he ought to feed the church at the poimeno, mean to feed it, to give it what it needs, to nourish it spiritually. Feed the church, overseeing it, feeding it, protecting it, as Brian had said, feeding it, overseeing it, watching it, as Steve said. But we need some action. Inaction leaves us all wondering what's going to happen. Inaction will kill any organization. It'll kill your workplace. It'll kill your home life. It'll kill you off in the school system. Inaction is nothing but a killer. It's one thing to say, well, we're thinking about it. Well, listen, we can't think all the year long. Action somewhere. Good action. Insightful action. All to a care. Remember those. Age, awareness, action. That's what an elder is, right? All right. Here we are. We're talking about socially being mature. You don't want somebody in the eldership that can't laugh and get along with nobody. It has to be somebody who understands what life is and they know what issues are and they're pretty quite aware of what's happening or taking place. That the aged men, the presbyters, we all about the aged men ought to be sober, letting the young men see. What are you talking about? He's socially mature. The aged women, likewise, that they may teach the young women. What are you talking about? They're socially mature. They know what life is all about. Well experienced. We need some good people, some good men who are aged, well experienced, socially adjusted. We need some spiritually mature men, not novices. Somebody simply said, what do you mean by a novice? He's not a beginner. He's not the new kid on the block. He's not the new kid in the flock. He's just not a novice. He's somebody who spent some time in the Lord, being shaped and reshaped, transformed and transformed again and again. Somebody over time. This is what an elder is, not a novice. Lest being puffed up, he's an elder, shall not be relative of a new Christian. Not in their time nor in their temperament. You say, well, he looks like a good man. He's been in church 3 years. Why don't he be an elder? Man, I tell you, that doesn't work. He's a good man. Probably is. God bless him if he is. But that's not the qualification of an elder. He's a neophyte. He's new. He's young. He hasn't experienced a lot of things. Hasn't learned a lot of things. So that's not the man we're looking for. Are we not? Are y'all quiet on me? But I'm going to leave quickly. How old must he be? I don't know. But Brother Larry, he needs to be old enough for something. How old must he be? I don't know, but he ought to be old enough for something. He ought to be old enough to be married for a while. He didn't marry last week, and then he's an elder today. That doesn't happen like that. He's old enough to have believing children. Folks that have been born again, born of the water and of the blood. We're talking about a Christian child of God. We need to have people like that. How old? I don't know how old, but old enough to lead his family. How old? I don't know, but old enough to have a stellar reputation within and without the church. How old? I don't know, but old enough to lead a community of believers. He has to be old enough to do this. I've spoken with some people of Jewish heritage, and I want to know about the Sanhedrin that developed out of all of this elding through their time. And I asked them how old. They said, well, the Euclidean age is starting to 40. That's what they tell me. However, we have no such stipulation when it comes to being an elder in God's kingdom. However, we can look at that over time. We've known people to be 40s and 45 and 50 to be elder. Yes, that's a great thing, but there's no lock on an age range. But what we're looking at is experience, wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to deal with people. That's what an elder is. Other than that, we just got a young man trying to deal with an older man's job. That doesn't work like that, and that would be wrong for us to do. He's a man of wisdom. What do you mean by that? He can think. He can sit down and talk, and he can work through some things and simply say, what do you think? How do you feel? He's ideal. He's an advisor. Not only is an advisor, but he is also an advisor that has some experience and more than likely have seen that what happened. And well-reasoned, his ability to have a rationale behind his decisions. Listen, I don't mind decision people make. Just tell me why you made it. And if you made it and you convince me, I'm going with you. But if it's some old shatter kind of a conclusion you draw, the reason why, I'm not going for that. I'm going to keep asking questions. Why? Because I want to know if you got wisdom or not. For he needs to know how to rule. And we're not talking about bossing. We're not talking about pushing. We're not talking having people to fix it so much. That's a compound Greek word. I want you to know that. Usually the word histamine means to stand up strong. Pro means to stand up before you. The ideal of it is that he's causing his family to be able to stand up, and he can stand up before his family, and everybody, guess what? They said, Dad's a good man. My husband, he's a good man. He ought to be able to do that. He knows how to rule his house, called it to stand. How shall he take care of? Now, if his house is falling apart and it's not standing strong, I'm telling you, sometimes we need to rethink who we have in our leadership. Our leadership will not be leading us in the right direction. Our trajectory goes downward rather than upwards. We cannot have men like that. He's not Lord. He's not a Lord. He's not your own vocation here at Hume Rose. He's not your kudios. He's not that. He is not a Lord, but he's a leader, being an example. He's not lorded over the flock. He leads the flock. He shows the flock. He answers the flock. He shows it by his life. He shows it by his intelligence. Shows it by his insight of his knowledge of the word of God. That's an elder. I said, when I leave there, I spoke with elder so-and-so. I had this problem and I didn't see any way out, but I sat and talked. You know, I come to think about it now. It's not as bad as I thought it was. And there is some outlets. There is some hope. There is some capabilities, some abilities for me to be able to find myself in a lot better place than where I am right now. Just talking with him, listening to him, and he listening to you. That's what an elder is. Boy, he's not lording it. He's leading it. I'm not going anywhere if you ain't willing to go. I want to know if you believe in enough to go. And if you do, you show me reason why, I'm going with you. Why? He's proactive. And what I mean by proactive, that's what an elder is, his age. Y'all get those three words out of me. I told you now. He went out to the gate. Dennis, I'm sorry. We keep telling your thunder this morning about Job. But Job is the picture, all the qualification that is listed in Timothy and all about elders of that time. If you look closely, Job matches every one of them. No wonder he's sitting at the gate. No wonder he's among the elders. No wonder he has his own seat. Why? Because God, working through time, through his own ways, bringing this thing into position to when we find the church, all things work together for the good of them. God's been working with elders since Moses, since that Egyptian escape, all the way to Jesus' escape from the grove, from the grave. He's done it. When I went out to the gate, this is Job. Chapter 29, you find his defense of they accusing him of all of his problems. But Job simply said, listen, I want to give you a defense of who I am. Chapters 29 and chapter 31 is his defense of who he was and how he was and what he was to his church and faith community. And whenever that happens, you got an elder sitting at the gate like Job. When that happened, you got a leader sitting at the gate like Job. We need to look at Job as a forerunner of what elders are to be right now. God had him in mind and had the elder today in mind. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting it, but this Bible is good. When I went out to the gate, Job said, what you going for the gate for? When I prepared my seat. Where you taking the seat for? I'm sitting among the elders. Why are you sitting among the elders? Because I'm a leader of the land. How you get to be a leader of the land? The folks showed me so. You see, whenever we think about Job, we usually think about his plight and pain in life. But what we really need to think about, what we really should focus on, we ought not be worrying about his financial ruination. We ought to be concerned about his family destruction. We should be thinking about his physical disintegration. But what we need to be thinking about is his life, his love, and his leadership among God's people. That's what we need to think about Job. He was a leader sitting among the elders. And that's the kind of man we need. And when you read chapter number 29, and when you read chapter number 31, you'll see everything that's listed in Timothy. You'll find Job fulfilling every task. Tell me God don't know what he's doing. Tell me if God ain't got this all planned. Tell me if God didn't have this all set up in order for us to be the leaders that we ought to be. You want to know how to be an elder? Yes, look at the brethren. You want to know what an elder is? Look at Job. Job exemplified all the qualities that were required of New Testament elders. Go check it out. Job was the man, a proactive leader. And all he ever said, I did this. I done this. I cared for the people. When I stepped in the room, everybody listened. Those who were part of God's community and those who were not, my words were heard. And when I spoke, folk listened. Listen, everybody talking about, y'all ever heard this? I'm talking about having a drop mic moment. Job talks about a drop mic moment. He said, once I got on up in there and everybody listening ain't saying nothing, then I just stopped and everybody left it all alone. It was a drop mic moment when Job met with the elders, took his seat among the elders, and he led the people. Boy, you're talking about an elder. Well, this is a beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but that's what an elder is. He's proactive. You're not sitting by waiting for things happen, then we fix it. We waste time. I'm not saying it is a waste of time to deal with our problem, but we can avoid a lot of problems if we just think a little proactively. What could happen? What could go wrong? I don't know. It could. What could happen? What would do if we do this? Here's what. Let's not let it start. Let's stop it before it starts. We're talking about elders. The book of Job, I want you all to read that. Because we mostly think about him losing his children, losing his money, losing his health. We think about that, but we never fasten on the communal leadership of Job, of how he sat in the seats with the other elders and led his own community that was among them. And the people knew he was part of their leadership. It's a beautiful thing. That's what eldership is. Old bearded men. Some clear shaven men. But the ideal of it is they're wise men. they have experienced it, sometimes far beyond their years, and they understand what it is to lead. They are people of age, people of awareness, people of action. People have to be people of action. I don't know about you, but those are the kind of elders that I love to be around. Those are the kind of elders that some of you would like to become. I don't know about you this morning, but I know what God says about elders, and I know that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, makes elders. In Acts 28, I think, somewhere around there, if I'm wrong, you correct me, verse 20. He simply said, listen, that the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. And we're going through the process, and I think it's wise of our elders to set this forward, to have men come to know and to see what is and what isn't. I'm telling you, going through this class will help you see all the intricacies of what eldershipping is. But I tell you what, it is God make you elder. God made you an elder, and you ought to be like Job. And I think Bart said this morning, so fitting, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? He's like none other. He wasn't just a good man, but he's a good leader in his community, within the faith community of God's people, of all those communities that they branched out into. He was a leader. Have you considered Job? And I want to ask you, some of you men, have you considered yourself? Have you looked at this? Have you thought about yes, and then you need to think again? Wait a minute, no, wait, let me hold on for a minute. How many of the congregation have you considered whoever named blank? Have you considered him? And you look out and you see what Job was, and you look and see how he conducted himself among God's people, among those who were not God's people, how he was approached and how everybody wanted to come to him for advice, how he is a married man, had everything well, his wife thought well of him, highly of him, so did his children. I don't know about you. I'm looking for some elders. I'm looking for some men, and what we say in Tennessee, not britches, real men leading God's people, going on, developing men. They're not perfect, but they're developing men who've given us enough insight, who've shown us enough demonstration through their lives that they can lead us, people of intelligence, insight, and leadership. Be like that. So the next time, get past the plight in 1 Timothy of all the things, everything that's mentioned, Job gave it straight out to all of his supposed three friends. He said, this is what I've been. I've been a good husband. I've been a good father. I've been a good community leader. And I've served this faith community all of my days. What a fine resume for a leader. Why don't we look at Job at that? Those who are here this morning, you realize you're not in God's kingdom. You haven't been buried in likeness of his death. Haven't yet to be planted. God will plant you in that water, forgive you of your sins, raise you up, and add you to his body. And as a Christian, you need to walk, you need to talk, you need to learn, you need to love, and you need to live God's word. And whenever we do that, we'll be doing well. And as a child of God, that I'm not standing as I should, I'm not as strong as I would like, that's when we need to be kneeling at the cross, asking for prayer, asking for power, asking for God's leading to help us to become everything that we need to be. That's what this life is all about. That's what being a shepherd is all about, and that's what being a Christian is all about, because I do believe sometimes we have elders sitting in the pews. But I'm telling you, God didn't make you to stand on the sideline. He did not make you to be an onlooker. He made you to be a seat taker. And if you don't take your seat right now as an elder and move where you are, you're causing problem with God and you're going to have trouble at the gate. So, friends, you know it. You're God's leader. You need to step forward. And those who realize the people, you need to go to them and talk with them. They need to serve where God has really led them to serve. If not, boy, we're losing out on God's blessing. We're fighting against the Lord. We can't stand to do that. No, not for 1 minute. Not for 1 second. As together we stand and sing.